Hello. Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a specially selected toy for male-bodied folks. Second, a sexy surprise for female-bodied folks. And third, a little something for everyone. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. Super random, super secret. Who knows what movie you'll get? And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? Oh, this is so easy and so important. It has to do with promo code SEXNERD. Hop on over to AdamandEve.com. Check out goodies you can use alone or with a partner and select any one item. That includes a new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, and that thing you've been thinking about getting but haven't yet. Just enter offer code SEXNERD at checkout and you'll get all 10 free gifts. So go ahead, check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping. When you enter offer code SEXNERD, that's SEXNERD at AdamandEve.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello, friend. It's Sandra, and this is the Asexuality 101 episode. I was so excited to find out that there was a panel on asexuality at Occidental College. A bunch of people stayed. We gathered around a table, and we talked about asexuality. Some very surprising things came up. I feel like this topic is far from being covered. There's so much, and I would like to do more episodes as I meet people who are asexual. I'd love to ask more questions, but it's a lot. There's a lot. My brain exploded many times during this episode. So enjoy that. Also, a few dates before we get started. I am about to go and podcast with Bridgetown Comedy Fest on May 9th. It's in Portland. It's Urban Dictionary. That's the topic, with Kyle Kinane, Nick Stargue, and Alicia Sanchez, three awesome comics, and I look forward to being silly with them. And then Girl Sex 101, the party is May 9th in Oakland at 8 o'clock. Come there early for demos. I was misinformed. I thought that you had to be VIP for demos, but it's mainly earlier in the evening. Do that, but you do get a book if you do the VIP stuff. You can go to Eventbrite for that, Bridgetown Comedy Fest for the Portland thing. And then I am in Sydney, Australia, May 16th. Tickets are selling really fast, so definitely get tickets if you want to come to that. Check out that Eventbrite. All of this is at sexnerdsandra.com, but if you want to go to Eventbrite, you can do that. And then I am announcing that I will be in Auckland, New Zealand on May 21st. It's going to be really fun. May 21st. It'll be at 8:30 at Comedy Classic. Ooh. So please come out for that. I'm really looking forward to my trip down under. It sounds dirty, but really, it's just a different place, far away. Looking forward to it. Oh, man. And I'm also going to the Shire. That's right, the Shire. And then we're flying to a different part of New Zealand to see more Lord of the Rings things. Yay! Be jealous, please. Okay, so I like you. I like your face. I appreciate you listening. Thanks for all the support. Check me out on Twitter and Facebook. Check out a Sex Nerd Sandra Tote at merchtable.com. And I will see you, hopefully, at one of the upcoming shows or in your ear holes in the future. Okay. Okay, enjoy the asexuality episode. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
So now that I've realized that I shouldn't use penis metaphors with this group. I mean, generally, I shouldn't probably. Okay. Hi, Riley.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so I just met you. Hello, and we are recording totally right now.
Okay.
I just met you, and you were super, like, almost breathless because you just finished putting together an asexuality panel, which I totally had to miss, and I'm sad about. How did it go?
I think it went well. I could be deceived, but it was really great. Like, quadruple of the people showed up than like we thought they would, I guess.
Great.
Lots of questions.
Yeah, I have had this on my calendar for weeks. I've wanted to come to this. It's important. No one's talking about asexuality.
Oh yeah. I was really, I mean, I don't know. I was kind of nervous, but I wanted to bring more general awareness, especially on my campus, because I don't know, every time I like it came up or I talked about it, I had to like give the whole 30-minute intro to each individual person, and I was like, oh, I could just do that all at once.
Is this your first panel?
Yeah.
It's a huge thing when you're like done with your first presentation where you're like, oh shit. I mean, oh snap. You know, like, so, oh, and you can curse. You're so welcome to be yourselves here. And no one needs to be an expert, FYI, because I already can tell that there's this tense, like cloud has come down upon us, like, now that we're recording. But yeah, congratulations, Riley.
Thank you.
Do you have a full name or a website or a group or anything that you want to tell folks about, since we're about to embark on asexuality, the conversation?
I'm just Riley Gilmartin. Yeah, I'm a student. I'm like just going into college, so nah, that's it.
Why put together an asexuality panel?
I found Lilin and Sherry's group recently. We have like a meetup group, and it was just so fulfilling to like find a community, and I don't know, it just like got me really hyped on like asexual life, and I was like, oh my goodness, I bet I want to bring this, like, to other people, and what if there are people who are, like, where I was 4 years ago, where I was, like, confused and, like, didn't know anything, and so I think just, like, general awareness and visibility is important.
Yes, it is. What's the name of the group that you're a part of with Sherry Berlin? Is that the group that I was totally kicked out of recently? Are you the one that kicked me out? Oh, I see. So I joined it, and I was accepted. So I was looking for people to interview, and then got a really lovely message from you. Could you have the mic, please? Being like, this is a group for people who are actually asexual. Can you, like, not be in it and stuff? And I was like, oh, totes, but you need to tell me who to talk to.
Yeah.
And then you asked people, and, like, you said that you didn't want to actually be interviewed.
No, it was my co-organizer, Sherry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
And sorry about joining your group.
No, it's fine. It's just supposed to be a safe space for aces, so.
And I'm super unsafe. Because I'm the horny, like, scary sexual
person. Yeah, exactly. So we're like, no, gotta kick you out.
So that already, I'm touching on, like, probably a myth of what it means to be asexual. Because people do not know. Like, I had dinner with a friend just last night. And I was like, I'm going to talk to, like, asexual people about what it means because I need to know all the things. And he was like, I don't buy it. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, and I don't remember what he said. He said, like, I can't believe that you can have a life where you don't feel sexual, and something about, like, it just seems really sad or something, and oh. Right, okay, wait, okay, you can't talk unless you have the talking mic. No, but Shereen, no, reach for it. Just you know, like, we're on team mic here. All right, just pass it around. It's like sports, but way more fun.
I was just going to say, already your friend is confusing a lot of aspects about what it means to be asexual and sexual and the difference between these things.
What's your name?
Carmelo.
Carmelo. Okay, so what does it mean to be asexual?
Well, for example, your friend said, what did he say? I don't buy that you can't be sexual or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you think about a definition of sexual as anything pertaining to or related to sex, you know, I believe as an asexual, you can still be sexual, but your desire or your attraction isn't going to be directed towards anybody as it is. I mean, I don't feel any attraction to anybody, and it doesn't. I'm not being very articulate here, but
it's okay. I feel like I'm getting it. Does anyone want to help him out, or do you want to
help me out here, somebody?
Like, what does it mean to be asexual? Yeah, get that mic.
Sure, all right. Gosh. That's almost like asking what it means to be gay. Like, you know what? I guess it just means that you're attracted to dudes. But, I mean, it just kind of means that you... Like, sexual attraction is a weird term that people don't usually know how to talk to with mm-hmm. other people. Talk about it. Because you have to actually, like, get into the... Like, you have to talk about sex. People don't like doing that. I don't know if, you know, that's a thing that people have noticed, but you don't talk about it in polite society.
Just people.
Polite society. Not like individuals, because, of course, you know, sometimes you can sexually codify anything and have it be, like, a really sexual discussion and grunt and be manly, but, you know.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, right. But, It just means that you don't look at somebody and go, oh yeah, I really want to have sex with them. It's kind of it. Yeah.
That's it.
I mean,
oh, pass the mic. Yeah. I don't know why I'm saying, yeah, you got the mic. I'm really excited for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you just view the world a little differently because a lot of people talk about how other people are so hot and they want to have sex with them and stuff. And I always wondered why they were saying that. Like, I thought they were just joking or it was just popular to say that because it's neat or something. I don't know. But I didn't get it and I didn't play along with it because I didn't agree with it.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that asexuality is merely the absence of sexual attraction. Right? Oh, we got a lot of nodding.
Yeah.
A lot of nodding.
I mean, that's pretty much the start and the end of it, is that asexuality is a lack of sexual attraction, and everything after that is really individual. Mm-hmm. I'm Bauer. I run Aces Wild, which is a YouTube channel of asexual people's perspectives. So I've been interviewing people, and, like, that's pretty much been the baseline. And then after that, people's experiences have really diverged with lots of different romantic attractions or not being aromantic and things like that. And then different types of partnerships that they're interested in or not interested in, like queer platonic partnerships or non-sexual romantic relationships, or, you know, being with an allosexual, or that meaning sexual, person and an asexual person being in a relationship together, and sort of like navigating how that.
You just said so many things. You notice, like, she just, like, broke it down, but, like, no, because I wouldn't have been recording the panel. We got to break it down anyway. We got to break it down anyway. So there are a lot of different spectrums at play here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the sexual attraction spectrum, and it seems like if you're asexual, it's fairly, you're all on the same page that you have no sexual attraction. But someone is saying,
Well, because I always try and kind of talk about asexuality as a spectrum within a spectrum. It's not, I mean, it is part of, like, being, you know, the queer mogai identity, whatever you want to use, whatever term, etc. But it's also kind of its own beast, you know? Everybody reacts to it differently. Everybody's on different levels of it. As it is with everything else, it's just that we've kind of tried to put words to it, which is nice. I like it.
Okay, but then there's the aromantic terminology. Some people feel like they still have romantic attraction. Some people do not, and all over the place. All right? So there's that spectrum. Everyone's, like, pleasantly nodding at me.
You did your research. We're happy.
Yay! Yeah, you know, I talk about spectrums and stuff. What other, like, intersections is involved here?
Hi, I'm Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hey. So, in regards to that question, I didn't know that sexuality was a thing that people felt.
Oh.
Didn't know that until probably December. And I read that people felt sexual attraction, actually. So, I looked into that because I was like, really? People feel a thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just they say they do. Looked it up, found out there was a word, asexual. Oh, that describes me exactly.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You found a word. I know what it's like to find a word that describes you finally. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. It's, I mean, three of my siblings are also on the ace spectrum. So mm-hmm. I shared the definition with them. One of them already knew.
You're literally, like, you're related to them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Danny, Alan and Brandy are also here. You'll hear them at
different
points.
You're all siblings?
I'm sure. Yes.
And you all relate, are like, yes. Are, sorry, identify asexual?
Yes.
A spectrum.
A spectrum.
Yes, a spectrum. Because Danny and I both identify as asexual. Mm-hmm. And then Alan and Brandy can tell you themselves, you know, later, but they're on the spectrum too. And I think it was January. I read that people feel romantic attraction. Mm-hmm. Oh. So there comes the romantic, you know, thing. And I went, really? They do? I thought they just said that. I thought it was just a thing that happened in movies or something. Looked it up. It's more complicated than that, of course. But I looked it up and saw that there was a term, aromantic, and went, oh, well, that's me too.
Okay. Are you A anything else?
Yeah. Also,
A cauliflower? I hate cauliflower.
I like cauliflower, especially with eggs. And jalapeno.
I'm not judging, but I'm judging.
Makes a delicious omelet.
Ugh. Yeah. But no cheese. We don't need cheese in an omelet. Nah. Veggies. Lots of veggies.
I'm making stupid-ass jokes, but, like, seriously, I mean, are there any other... Is it really just romance and sexuality? Are there any other...
No, there are other A's. The A, depending on who you ask, the A in LGBTQIA plus or whatever stands for three A's. It's asexual, aromantic, and agender.
Agender, that's the one. I knew there was another one.
Exactly. So, you know, in February or March, I read that people feel their gender. And I went, what? You're telling me people who wear dresses feel like a girl and not just like a person? And people who call themselves dudes feel like a man? This is new. I didn't really realize that. Then, you know, I saw the word agender and went, oh, okay. So... I don't really feel gender either.
You're like a triple threat.
Yeah. There. If you look online, there are certain groups that call themselves triple A's. Mm-hmm. That just asexual, aromantic, agender. And yeah, that's all. That's it, basically.
I feel like your symbol is just a very small bra.
Yeah.
Triple A. That's stupid.
Oh my gosh. Or batteries will run forever.
Or batteries. Better. It's better. I like it. Yep. Okay, so... Wait, so, wow, there's siblings, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Four of us in this room.
See, Bauer, is that how I pronounce it? Bauer mentioned earlier that there was an asexual, like, family here, but I thought you meant, like, like polyamory family. Like, banded together in a tribe.
Right.
No, not at all.
If you'd like to speak to Danny, here she is.
Yeah, like, we made some jokes about, like, you know, supposedly about 1% of the population is asexual. And that 4 out of 6 of our mom and dad's kids, us, are asexual. So we're like, you know, like for that to be like averaged out, they have to have like 600 kids for like 4 of them. No, no. 400 kids, I guess. Yeah, I don't know, like 400 kids for 4 of them to be asexual, you know, like as an average. But it turns out 4 out of 6 so far are asexual.
Okay, and you have 2 siblings that feel sexual attraction, et cetera. Okay.
Most likely, we haven't really gone through that with them because they're younger. But
okay, yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
But we don't know
yet. Yeah, we're just like, you know, it's like it's supposed to be like 1%. So like, if they had 100 kids, like one of them, on average, would be asexual. Yeah, yeah, one of our siblings did say she thinks boys are cute and stuff like that. So we're thinking she's probably allosexual. But.
Interesting. Oh, I'm sorry, but I feel like... give me your card, and there are research people out there who want to know about you.
Okay, well, both of our parents are the shortest ones from their family. There is that. Because we've heard, like, you know...
Figured it out.
Yeah, like, supposedly asexuals, on average, are, you know, a little shorter than other people. So that might be a possibility.
Really? Has anyone actually done any research on the heights of...
Huh. Yeah, there are very few demographic things that have correlations with asexuality. Being shorter is one of them. A lot of other things are sort of inconclusive. Like a stereotype often comes up that there are more asexual women than men, but mm-hmm. research has not actually... they've found inconclusive results. So some studies find that, some studies don't. Gender is a huge thing in the asexual community because there's such a large... overlap with the non-binary and trans mm-hmm. and gender non-conforming community. Mm-hmm. But the other...
Someone was rooting for it. They're excited.
And then some other... Another... This isn't a demographic, but another thing is that asexual people sort of drink less. Mm-hmm.
Prove them wrong, you guys.
Well, our whole family are like teetotalers and everything, so like we don't drink alcohol or smoke or anything like that. Yeah, like
no one in the house.
No one in the house at all. So, oh, here's Brandy.
The only thing I drink is juice.
You should drink some water too.
Oh, okay. Here's another person.
Yeah, I actually I've talked a couple times, haven't introduced myself. I'm Minnie. But I'm actually actively sober. So, I mean, you know.
It's interesting. Wait, okay. There are lots of things that just happened here, and they're all very exciting. But I want to know, what are the reactions of your family and friends when you are you out as this? Is it super
real quick? The first time I told my mom that I thought I might be ace, which was about 2 years before I decided that I actually was, she was like, "You don't know. You've never had sex with anybody." And I was like, "You wouldn't tell me that if I was coming out as lesbian." And she was like, "Oh, I actually wouldn't." And so that stopped her. But of all the prejudices for her to have, she's like, "Oh," I'm like, "Well, I've never had sex with a girl, but if I told you I was lesbian, you'd be fine with it." And she's like, "You're right."
Yeah, I mean, is you'll grow out of it something that you've been told? Because you're all pretty young. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
you're going to want kids someday.
Okay, what happens if you do evolve and change and suddenly you do find yourself attracted to someone? I mean, total identity meltdown. What happens?
Happens to
Have
everybody.
Have you met anybody who's, or is this just a rude question that I'm asking that's like super obnoxious?
Sexuality is fluid. That's
yes.
For sure. So if somebody decides or feels that they're no longer asexual, that didn't make their previous identity invalid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So anybody who decided they were gay and suddenly decided they were bisexual,
mm-hmm.
it's all different experiences, and that's not just within the ace community, but a human experience, I think. So
that's great. So what did your parents think? Do you have parents? What are your friends saying?
My friends have known, every friend I've ever had, basically, they knew because I've told them.
How early?
I've known since early middle school that mm-hmm. I was asexual. And I had great friends that just supported me, so it wasn't really an issue in that case. But my parents, I came out to last year through an email for a link to Aven, which was basically a link for family and friends who had somebody in there that was close to them who was asexual.
Aven, A-V-N?
A-V-E-N.
A-V-E-N.
Asexual Visibility Education Network.
.org.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. You know. My parents took it pretty well. My mom did a lot of the stereotypical, "I just don't want you to be alone for the rest of your life."
Are you going to be alone the rest of your life?
I'm in a relationship right now. So.
Okay.
I'm aromantic, but I'm also, I'm in a queer platonic relationship,
mm-hmm.
Which basically means it's a close, intimate platonic relationship that can involve sex, but for me, I'm sex repulsed, so I'm not interested in that. And my partner is allosexual, so that means that they're sexual.
Wait, allosexual?
Allosexual just means not asexual or not on the asexual spectrum.
How do you spell that?
A-L-L-O, sexual.
So anyone who's not asexual is
allosexual.
Allosexual.
Yeah.
Is that short for something? Allo?
Just because Allocated? You don't want to call somebody sexual because it's kind of creepy.
Oh, okay. You know allosexual. I mean?
Yeah, alloromantic.
Alloromantic, yeah. Same thing.
It also denormalizes the idea that everybody has sex. You know, there's no normal. There's no like it's not asexual people and normal people. It's asexual people and allosexual people. You don't want to have
asexual, allosexual. And then you said sexually repulsed.
So some people are interested. Some people in the ace community are interested in having sex and have mm-hmm. sex either because they want to please their partner or because they like it or enjoy it.
Yeah, there are hundreds of reasons to have sex. Like that's
sure, yeah.
And some of them have nothing to do with actually wanting to have sex,
right?
You know, like making rent or whatever.
Right.
Right. Am I right? Someone's like, "No, it was a joke, but it's actually real." So your partner is allosexual.
Yes.
You're, what did you say, sexually, not sexually repulsed.
I'm sex repulsed.
Sex repulsed.
Yeah.
Sex repulsed is just if you're not just neutral about it, you're actually like...
I am repulsed by the idea of being in sexually coded or having sex.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with anybody else having sex. I'm okay with seeing sex. Doesn't matter. But if it involves me, I instantly get repulsed by it. So
how does that work in a queer platonic relationship? Like, you're in a relationship that's queer platonic.
Yeah.
How is that different? And really, this is like, I always ask questions that I know. It's just important to, I don't know how to say it. But if your partner is, it's an agreed upon platonic relationship, how is that different than friendship? Or is it like a long, or, you know, like, what's the difference? Because, yeah. What is it? I have a lot of friendships that are like, that are very intimate,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, I don't know what to call us. And right. So it's like the weird in between where you're like, I don't know, we cuddle sometimes and I have warm feelings for you, but we're not really anything. I don't know. I don't have words for the in-between relationships.
Sure. I mean, and I wouldn't even call queer platonic an in-between between friendship and romance. Mm-hmm. The idea that romance is the end-all be-all of relationships, I think, mm-hmm. is a false idea. It's something called amato-normativity, which is that romance is the best thing, something that people should strive for.
Amato-normativity.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much Googling that's going to be happening. Yeah. Okay.
So for a queer platonic relationship, it definitely emphasizes the fact that there's commitment involved. Even if it's an open relationship, you're still mm-hmm. committed to this person. Mm-hmm. It's a deeply intimate and emotionally connected relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Both of my... me and my partner are both aromantic as well. Mm-hmm. So it works in that we don't have this feeling like they want romance, but I don't. You know what I mean? So we've met each other on that level. So it is committed. It's a monogamous relationship between us right now. And it just depends. Like, a queer platonic relationship can sometimes even look like a romantic relationship. It's just a matter of how you feel towards the other person. Like, if you have romantic feelings or romantic attraction towards somebody, there's going to be romantically coded things like kissing, cuddling, hugging.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't feel that way about them, then kissing, cuddling, hugging can look like a romantic relationship to people on the outside. But mm-hmm. you both know that it's not that way.
So. I see. Okay. All right. I think I see. aromantic. But then they're allosexual, but it's an open relationship.
It's not.
Oh, it's not?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
They can be, though. Anybody can enter a queer platonic relationship, mm-hmm. and it just depends on the individuals involved.
Mm-hmm.
They decide what the rules are, what the boundaries are, what they want to respect, and what they're not okay with.
Mm-hmm.
So my partner, who is allosexual, understands and is comfortable with and respects the fact that we are never going to have sex. And they also
I hope so.
Yeah. And they also understand the fact that I'm not comfortable with them looking for other people mm-hmm. to have sex with. So mm-hmm. it's a closed relationship mm-hmm. in that sense. But yeah. other people who enter queer platonic relationships, or any kind of relationship really, can just decide if they want an open relationship or if they want a third partner mm-hmm. or anything, especially with aces involved. You're never sure.
You're never sure with those aces.
Yeah.
So. No. Okay, this is actually really fun for me because I talk to people about their partnership configuration and relationships a lot. But this is like I feel like I'm leveling up on like the mental gymnastics and like creating new mental maps of what is possible. And also it's helpful for me because I'm constantly fluid with things. So it's like new things to play with when I'm talking to my partners. Okay, cool. All right, that was a lot of information, but I like what just happened. I'd love to hear about did you all come out together to your family, and they were all just like, yes. No, yes. No.
We all came out together, and it was unplanned, unscripted.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just a Christmas Eve.
At Denny's.
Yes, Christmas Eve, our mom and dad said, hey, who wants to go to Denny's? It's one of our favorite places to eat because there are eight of us. The food tastes good and it doesn't cost much. So the two youngest said, nah, we're tired, we'll stay home. So we all went, the six of us, mom, dad, then the four of us. And I was reading a book by Sandra Decker, Julie Sandra Decker. Yes, called The Invisible... Invisible Orientation. Yeah, thank you. The Invisible Orientation. And I just whipped it out while I was sitting there waiting for our food, and I was reading it because I was halfway through or whatever. And wondering if they would ask about it. You know, it's like, hey, if they do, cool. If they don't, yeah, sure, whatever. Because they see me reading stuff a lot. And our dad said, hey, what's that book about? And I said, oh, showed him the cover. The Invisible Orientation. It's all about something that you've probably never heard of, and that's why it's called Invisible Asexuality. And he's like, dude, what is that? And our mom's like, what is that? I don't know what that is. And I says, it's when people don't feel sexual attraction. And that's all. And they're like, that exists? And I'm like, wait a second.
And were the rest of you just quietly watching your parents?
Yep, we were just like letting Nikki explain it because we were like, oh, she's best at explaining things. Let's just let her do it.
Yeah, I'm the explainer. I'm the go-between for everything. But yeah, so I tell them what it is. I show them some excerpts from the book. And our dad's like, whoa, that's totally awesome.
Well,
yeah. Basically, you know. And our mom's like, I don't know if that really exists, guys. You know, like, that's a kind of strange thing. I think everybody is sexual to some degree. But, you know, she's totally cool about it. Just she's not exactly sure that that's a real thing.
Yeah, like, she's still not convinced that it's actually real, but she's not bugging us about it.
She's a super awesome, wonderful mom who loves us more than the world, which is totally awesome. And she respects and loves us.
And our dad was like, he was like, oh yeah, so you're asexual? Huh, that's nice. That means you won't be distracted by all the sexual things in the world, and you can get stuff done and all that.
Pragmatic.
He just sort of generally thought that it was interesting that we were completely out of any sort of romantic or sexual rat race that's going on, you know. We don't actually have interest in, you know, pursuing any of that stuff. And he found that to be extremely interesting.
Okay, I have to ask that, well, good for him. I like someone who's just like, interesting, no judgment, just taking it in. I guess... it's if you're asexual, I mean, agender is whatever. Like, that one's fine. That one's but for people who are worried that their loved one or their friend or somebody is going to be lonely, is what do you say to that person? Like, I don't know what to tell them.
Huh? I don't think I quite understand the question.
If someone's like, I'm really worried about Jacob. I mean, he says he's asexual and aromantic, and like, I just think he's gonna be lonely the rest of his life, and he's just gonna be alone in his apartment, and like, you know, he's really into cats. I mean, what do you?
Yeah, my reaction's a Joker laugh. I'm afraid I don't know how to deal with that sort of situation.
What do you say?
Well, you can just tell them that he is who he is, and you don't have to worry about him unless he asks you to worry about him and all that. And,
yeah. Also, there's this great thing called friends. I don't know if you've heard about them, but, like, friends are awesome. Like, I've got a lot of them. Like, they're really good people that, like, support me and like me as a person. And I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes, like, you can live with them in an apartment. It's great. I don't know. Like, yeah, it doesn't seem like loneliness to me.
So I've noticed that as I've grown up, like, having friends can be really awesome and fantastic. And then as they sort of pair off, as that sort of tends to happen, then, you know, that was when I sort of was, I personally started to get a little worried because I was in New York. There wasn't really a community in New York yet. And like, when I first figured this out in high school, I like looked up where all the asexual people were, and there was like one other person in the entire state of Connecticut. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I went to dating sites. I was like, there are not many
there
people.
There are not. Yeah.
Sites.
And so like, I'm like super happy and fine with being asexual, and if I have enough single friends, then like I'm set, and that's great. But I think that like assuming that people are going to be lonely because they're asexual or aromantic is like a little offensive. But then at the same time, within the asexual community, like I know personally, I was worried about that because I was worried that everybody else would go off riding into the sunset and I'd be like chilling by myself, being like, well, but my friends, where'd my friends go? They're busy.
you know, with these people, and there wasn't a community yet. Mm-hmm. But within the past few years, like, there's been a lot of momentum. There have been communities that have been built. Like, I started ACES NYC because I wanted a community. Mm-hmm. And now we meet, like, 3 times a month, and there are a bunch of people hanging out. And Braylon and Shari started doing ACES, ACE Los Angeles. And so, like, that's not prevalent in every city or every place in the country or the world, but people are starting to pop up all over the place, and I think that visibility things, even like being on this right now, is like going to be really helpful.
Visibility,
hey.
Even though it's for your ears.
Yeah, and so like communities are really starting to build, and doing panels and things like that really does help. And then, you know, you don't have to be as worried about the fact that you'd never meet anybody else or whatever.
Now all we need is an ACE float in a parade. Yeah. Just like everyone, ACE is just all over it. Just be like, hey, let's dance.
It's super, that's super, yeah. Dude, that's an achievable dream.
Well, that was a big thing, actually. I went to Seattle Pride last summer, and it was like, it was me and my friends, and we're all ACE, and we didn't plan this. I met one of them online, and then it turns out that he worked over the winter with people at, like, a Target, and they were all ACE, too. And now we're all really good friends. It's great. But, like, we definitely, like, I want to, like, eventually I want to, like, open a cafe, and I want it to be, like, a big, like, ACE, like, a place for asexual people to go, like, a good safe space for that kind of thing, and I'm opening it with at least one of them, and I mean, this is years in the future, but at the very least, I want to try and start a group when I move up there, that kind of thing. Like, I mean, we found each other, like, super randomly. We can't be the only ones, and but, like, it kind of felt like we were, because that was the thing, is we went to Pride, and it was us. And there were a bunch of floats for a bunch of things in the Pride Parade, but it kind of felt like it was just, like, the four of us standing together, like, we took a selfie, and then we went to a diner afterwards, mm-hmm. but it didn't really feel like there was anybody else. I think our next step is getting a very large flag to wave around, but, I mean, you know.
Yeah, is there a flag? Yes. Oh, what's
no
the color?
No flag, no country. These are the rules that I've just made. Sorry. Do you want the mic? Here. I don't know. Here's very well. Yeah.
Break it down, Bauer. Yeah, so black is community. Gray, it goes black, which is community. Then gray, which is gray and demi. White, which is community. And
did I do it right?
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, I'm going to start over.
Look, you guys, if you want to start a movement.
We got to get it together. Okay, sorry. It's black, which is for asexuality. Gray, which is gray and demi. White, which is for community. And purple, which is for sexuality in general, I think. And I might have switched white and purple one.
So. I'm hearing you say gray and dummy.
Demi.
D-E-M-I. Oh, demi. Demi. Like,
so, yeah. Like,
demisexual.
So having a strong emotional connection to somebody before feeling either sexual or romantic or some other type of attraction.
Cool.
There are a bunch of definitions.
Oh my goodness, there's so many. Behind me, and there's all these definitions.
But my favorite is a squish, which is a platonic crush or a friend crush.
Oh, I saw the. There's a cartoon online.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody's sexy in the feed.
Oh, that has all of this.
Yeah. There's a little poem on the flag which says, "Roses are nice, so is your face. Nobody is sexy. I must be ACE."
Which is this picture. Nice.
Yeah, just a picture that somebody put up there.
Oh, man. Okay, so what are the misconceptions that people have of you? Riley, even super quiet. I mean, you don't have to talk. It's just, I want to give you space if you want to. Okay. Why are all aces really shy almost? Except for you, not shy. You not shy. But other than that, kind of shy.
Homeschoolers.
Yeah, I know. This is a very small sample size. I realize that.
Our meetup is pretty.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of the misconceptions are just like, I feel like we addressed this already. Like, we're like, oh, frigid, sexless people. And like, there's a huge spectrum within asexuality. Like, some people have like lots of sexual desire and they want to do like sexual things. And some people are like really sexually repulsed and they like do not. And some people are gray asexual, which means like they like rarely or sometimes experience sexual attraction. And then there's just like, I don't know, we're all people.
We're just people. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with us.
I think like there's a lot of stereotypical responses that people have when they hear the word asexual, besides the stupid biology joke about us like cloning ourselves, asexual reproduction. Like, don't say that because I've heard that about 4 million times. So, and the whole, oh, you're going to be alone, or, oh, you haven't found the right person yet, or, oh, how do you know until you haven't tried it yet, or any of that, or, oh, there must be something wrong with you, maybe you should see a doctor, all of that stuff.
Oh, everyone, like, hissed when you said, maybe you should see a doctor. People have mentioned hormones. But, oh, did I interrupt? Are there more things?
No.
I like your list. I mean, I don't really like it because it's all the negative stuff, but, like, I was like, it was really solid and together. Oh, Danny has more.
Let's see. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Like, sometimes it's like, well, how do you know you don't like sex if you haven't tried it? And then let's say, like a straight guy's asking that, right? Then you're like, well, how do you know you don't like gay man sex if you haven't tried it? And they're like, I think I would know. You're like, yeah, well, I think I would know, okay?
See, because somebody might, because I know that there are also people listening who are questioning whether they might be ace. So it's also important, you know, to hear, like, what we would say if someone said that to you if you started coming out. Because a lot of people, I mean, there aren't a lot of aces out yet. So.
Yeah, certainly not a lot of visible ones, at least. Yeah.
And the whole coming out thing for everything, it should just be, don't expect anything of everyone unless they tell you what they are or who they feel like they want to like, mm-hmm. or anything like that. Just like, hey, hi, what's your name? What? Do you want to tell me about your stuff? No. And everyone just is like binary. It's, you like guys, you like girls. It's like, no, I don't.
Neither. I like chocolate.
I also remembered, yeah, so there's also, Riley mentioned the, like, you know, there's like the stereotype of ace people being like frigid and like cold, and it's so dumb. And not only is it just, it's also, there's a comic being written by somebody that I know in Australia that is still in progress, but one of the main characters is asexual and was made fun of a lot by, like, people would call, like, this character a robot when they were a kid. And I looked at this character and I was like, oh, wow, is this me? Because my blog name has robot in it. I make, mm-hmm. like, a lot of jokes about, like, you know, beep boop, that kind of thing. I mean, like, but it's a defense mechanism. You get a lot of crap about people, you know, calling you a robot. And after a while, you're just like, yeah, you know what? Fine. You want me to be a robot? Sure. Enslave humans. Cool. Great. I'm down for this. Like,
be nice to ace people.
I think, like,
Oh.
Oh.
Please don't remind me.
Our consciousness.
I haven't seen that yet.
I don't. There are references happening in this room. I'm not good with references.
I think on top of the robot it. Stuff too, aromantics get a lot of flack for that, because a lot of people, when they say they're ace, oh, but I can still feel romantic attraction, as if you need to reassure people that you still have a human emotion attached to it. But, you know, romance isn't required to be human. It isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like feeling sexual attraction isn't required to be human. Mm-hmm. So aromantics tend to get the whole, like, well, if you don't feel romantic attraction either, then what do you feel? Do you feel anything at all? No, I don't. Get away from me.
I mean, there is this sort of, I'm in my head, like, when I'm imagining, like, the space inside your heart place and the fact that there's no romance or sex, I'm like, what is there? Is it just a dark
hole? It's a black
hole. Yeah, are you just, I mean, of course you're not dead inside. You probably, like your friends or whatever. But what's...
It's filled with all the cute animal videos on the internet. Like little doggies and kitties and just parrots tweeting at you.
I don't have any of those inside.
You have me?
Well, you better start. Okay, so for people who do want to be in relationships, what's dating like as an asexual? Someone's like, don't look at me.
I can take this. Is anybody else dating? And then I'll pass it off in a second.
Because almost everybody's here. It's college age, right?
So I just started dating... maybe two people. I know I'm dating one other asexual person,
mm-hmm.
and then I am talking to somebody else, and I don't know what that is, but I think it's awesome, so I don't really need to know what that is, with the second person. And it's like, it's awesome. It's like super awesome. But
what's awesome?
What's a dating another asexual person is like,
what do you do?
What do we do?
Tell
we
me hang about out? Your personal life. It's, tell me that's about really your inappropriate. It's an inappropriate question.
Well, I guess it was sort of funny because, like, a lot of the times, you know, sexual scripts sort of say that you go and you meet somebody and then you start dating when you do things like you kiss them or you start doing sexual things with them, and that sort of indicates when you started dating. But we definitely, like, got really heavy into the feels, like, real fast. So, you know, ended within, like, the first week or week and a half, ended up, like, talking for hours and telling each other our total, like, entire life stories. And, you know, then a month later, I've, like, run out of news stories to tell because we've, like, hit, like, we like, went through, like, lots of, hey, this is who I am, and these are all the secrets that I've had and didn't, like, want to tell anybody ever because it was really scary, but I feel really comfortable and safe with you, which is, like, very, I don't know, it's, like, very freeing and then makes me feel much more comfortable with who I am, which is awesome. Yeah, and then, but then, like, now also, like, people always ask, what do you do? Do you, like, kiss them or what do you do? Mm-hmm. And, like, I was really nervous to, I had this, like, fantasy of kissing them on the cheek for, like, a few days. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know if this is going to be okay. Like, is that, like, would I be okay with that? I don't know. Because they're asexual, and I know I'm asexual too, but, like, meh. like, is that, like, boundaries? I don't know how to talk about this. Like, what, because it's still scary, because you, like, I want to do it, but I don't know if they want to do it, so, like, and I'm, like, literally just thinking about kissing somebody on the cheek, which is, like, not even the end of a Disney movie. That's, like, a step down from the end of a Disney movie. but, but, yeah, so anyway, do they do that in Pocahontas? Just on the cheek? No? Oh, okay. All right. Step up from Pocahontas, step down from everything else. But...
figure it out.
But so now, like, we kiss and we'll cuddle and we'll do things like that. And it was sort of funny because at some point in time I realized that, like, I started to understand maybe what sexual people were feeling because, like, I had never felt fireworks before. Mm-hmm. And I'd had butterflies when I, like, got nervous about somebody. And then, like, now sometimes I'll kiss my partner and, like, I'll just be like, oh my goodness, there's so many feelings and they're going everywhere. But I don't have anywhere to put it. Mm-hmm. Like, and so if I was a sexual person, then having, like, sex be a place to put all of those feelings would, like, make sense. Now that concept makes sense to me. I don't feel that, and I'm not. I'm definitely asexual, but, like, now there are all these, like, tingly, amazing, like, wonderful butterfly fireworky types of things. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this person really likes me. Like, what's going on? Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm just. It's so cute. And at the same time, as a sexual person, I'm like, oh no, you just do cartwheels. Like, that's not where you want to bone them. That's where you want to, like, high five them.
Yeah,
you
know? Totally. I want to, like, high five and do cartwheels and, like, you know, sit in a pile of puppies with them. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. You do that anyone? Fine. I don't know. But.
Aw.
Riley, do you want to say anything?
And thank you. I know our time is getting short, and I appreciate you sticking around, hanging out. Riley, what's up?
Well, I just, like, I don't know. I feel like I kind of had, like, an opposite. Like, it was a really good learning experience. I recently dated an allosexual person, and it was, like, kind of sad because it was just, like, me just, like, accepting my asexuality, and then, bam, dating someone who's, like, very different. And it was kind of me, like, testing myself. I was like, oh, I don't even know if I believe me, like, and it was like I couldn't respect my boundaries, and it was kind of like, oh, it's just like a lot of stress because it feels like, oh, everyone's really allosexual, right? Like, that, like, you can't, like, possibly exist. And I don't know, it felt like sadly reaffirming. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I definitely, like, am who I am. And it's interesting because when people's attractions don't line up, I think there's, like, it can feel like you're not being, like, romantic with that person because they like glue them all together. And I think it's really, really important that people, like, parse up attractions and understand what's happening, because, like, you can have a beautiful, wonderful relationship where an asexual and an allosexual person are both very happy and comfortable. And I don't know.
Wait. I mean, I have a follow-up because maybe I missed something. So if an allosexual and an ace person is in a happy relationship, because the thing that I guess the reason I'm asking this is because I get a lot of questions from people who are unhappy in marriages where there's no longer sex and one person just their sex drive is dropped and the other person who wants to have sex is in a monogamous relationship where they're really unhappy, which is not the same as what you're talking about. But I'm curious how you navigate that when one person wants to have sex but respects boundaries and the other person doesn't. They just kind of like, have fun masturbating. I love you. Like, is that basically, I mean, the nitty gritty of it?
I mean, I don't know that I have a solution to propose. I think
I'm just curious about, is that what you're talking about? Is like, that's how it kind of happens?
I would guess so. Yeah. Did you want to say something?
Like, generally, when you see asexual relationships in media, which almost never happens, but usually when you do, if they end up in a romantic relationship with an allosexual person, it's usually either implied or outright stated that the asexual person is having sex with the allosexual person for the allosexual person's benefit, whether or not the ace character was sex averse or not. I don't know how necessarily true that is all the time, but it's a really crappy assumption.
It's a crappy assumption that they would be having sex anyway.
Well, just because, like, it assumes that everybody has to be having sex at all times, like, including allosexual people, and it's like sort of that, you know, oh, people are brutes, the allosexual people are brutes, which is not true. It's the other end of asexual people are frigid. Like, it's just not true.
I think the important thing that I keep reiterating, too, is... within a relationship, because I am in a relationship, like I said, with somebody who's allosexual, is that consent, compromise is not consent. Compromising for your allosexual partner and having sex if you're sex repulsed can be extremely traumatic.
I imagine.
Even if you're saying yes, you know, that's, you're not having enthusiastic, consistent consent. So I think that the idea that people assume that aces are going to be the one who are compromising in an allosexual relationship is awful. And that it is more traumatic for an asexual, sex repulsed person to compromise than it is for an allosexual person to compromise. So.
Yeah, I hadn't assumed that the person who's asexual would have to compromise. But if you're not sex repulsed... am I saying that correctly? Yeah. Okay. If you're not sex repulsed and you're kind of like just sex neutral, then, I mean, it's not always a bad thing if someone compromises, but it's just, it's awful to assume that that's what's going to happen in that configuration of two people, right? Okay. Nodding all around. Okay. Partial nodding. Some stoicism. Okay.
And I don't feel like if you're sex neutral and you feel that you want to please your partner and that sex doesn't bother you, that's understandable. Mm-hmm. But for somebody who is sex repulsed, I would say that it you shouldn't feel like that compromise is consent, and consent obviously is important. So.
And that's a really important thing to like hit home with. Don't have sex if you don't want to. Friends.
Yeah, well, and then in the group in New York, and like having interviewed people, like there are, not everybody is okay with this, but some asexual or aromantic people are also, I think because the community talks so much about different types of relationships, some people are open to the idea of having different types of relationships with different people. So meaning like an asexual person might have a romantic partner and also have a queer platonic relationship, which if that they're okay with that, then maybe their partner would be able to have a sexual relationship with somebody and a non-sexual relationship with an asexual person. And like, that's not carte blanche. All asexual people are okay with that. Like, that's not true, but it is definitely something that's talked about a lot in the asexual community. Because the question of, like, what's the difference between a friendship and a relationship comes up so often, not just, like, questioning asexuality or aromanticism as a concept, but also just within the asexual community, like, talking about relationships happens, like, all the time.
Oh, man. I'm sure there's lots of processing and analyzing.
Lots of processing, definitely.
It seems to be a newer concept, and it's really exciting as an identity. Thank you so much for sitting with me. And we totally went over time, and I'm sorry, and thank you and stuff. Any particular resources you hope that somebody in the middle of nowhere can go to? I know you've said
something. Watch Ace is Wild. It's on YouTube.
Okay, Ace is Wild on YouTube.
Wild Asexuals is our Tumblr, Twitter, etc.
Ace LA has a Facebook group page. It's a closed group, but you can just request it, and then we'll add you. You can find us on the California and Los Angeles meetup groups on AVEN, which is asexuality.org. And the thinkingasexual.wordpress.com is one of the greatest resources that I've found. So
fantastic. Cool. Oh, more.
Sorry. And then in New York, Aces NYC. We have acesnyc.org and also on Meetup and Facebook and stuff.
Okay,
if you're looking
cool.
for people in person.
All right. Oh.
And if you ever need an upright bass, come to Fantastic Musical Instruments in Pasadena, California.
I love it.
And if you want to support an ace person, you can buy cute little crocheted animals for me. I'm Crafted Cuteness on Etsy.
Awesome. All right. Fantastic. We're talented people here.
Yay.
Okay. Go Team Fun. Thank you so much, you guys.
You're welcome. Bye. Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.